The message I have for you is that then it was Christmas. So today we just want to bring you to Christmas, this amazing, wonderful message. Here's the song, Joy to the World, the Lord has come.
And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Your sweetest songs employ.
While fields and streams and hills and plains repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness, the wonders of His love, the wonders of His love, the wonders of His love.
And the prophet would declare, looking into the mystic tomorrow of centuries beyond. And as I would tell, you know, there's going to be something special, something unique, something so significant that the whole world will wonder, and in the process, the whole world will be changed. We have it in a simple chorus.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace is He. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace is He.
Heavenly Father, thank you that we can gather together here this morning with some good news for that Christmas story, that Advent, the coming of your Son as our Saviour. It's the greatest news ever, and we come to celebrate it again. May we know joy in our hearts as we've heard that hymn sung, and indeed peace in our hearts in these difficult times. Lord, we draw near to you with one another, and we pray for your blessing on those who are with us this morning, and mindful of those who are not. Bless those who can't yet meet with us. Touch their hearts and lives through your word as we pray you'll speak to us through your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to you in this way because, Lord Jesus, you didn't just come as a baby, but as a Savior who went all the way to Calvary that our sins might be forgiven. Thank you this morning for the forgiveness of sins and the joy that that brings to our hearts. And indeed, that there is eternal life for each one who believes. Oh, how blessed we are as your people. So we just ask for your blessing on our service. And as we prepare ourselves for Christmas with family, this year will be a bit different. But Lord, be in the midst of everything. Draw near and be in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 2 and verses 8 to 20. If you have a Bible and would like to follow it, if not, just hear the word of the Lord. It's very familiar part of the Christmas story. But hear the word of the Lord. Luke chapter 2 verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And when they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
There is a magic. There's something about Christmas that is really wonderful. I know there's the frantic buying and selling and planning that goes on. And yet, in spite of this materialistic Western culture that we have, you know, the Daily Telegraph leader a couple of days ago simply stated this: Christmas is a religious act and a family time. And it was written against the backcloth of what could or what ought to be done during this lockdown time. And I'm aware of the gloom and the doom announcements, the confusing instructions that are being given to us of what is or is not possible. But I want to say something. Listen to me very carefully. All I know is that without this amazing encounter with God, the Christmas story sets it out, there would be no Christian experience, there would be no Christmas, there would be no Savior, no hope, no gospel, no salvation. Now, for lots of us, and I'm looking at the older folk here, there's a bit of nostalgia we have as we recall our childhood memories. The family traditions. We used to hang up a sock on the mantel shelf and be amazed when an orange appeared in it and a sixpence and things like that. The trees, the presents, the family times. But I want to tell you something. It was not easy. There were very few good times at the end of World War II. In those years and afterwards, it was hard. It meant many struggles. But that, in a way, was a mirror image. It's a reflection of what the Christmas story is about. In just the same way, here we are in 2020, and it's going to be hard for so many. Philip Brooks, who wrote O Little Town of Bethlehem, made a visit to the Holy Land in 1866. And you will have sung something, perhaps more times than you can count on your hand. He wrote a carol, and the essence of it was captured in the final verse. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin, enter in. Listen, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us. Abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. You see, Christmas is something in our hearts. It's for each of us. I you know how I study our beginnings and our culture and our congregationalism. You know, the 17th century was remarkable. The folk from up the Stanbridge Road, they were on the Mayflower. They were on the Mayflower, making its way. They were members here. And then there was the 5 Mile Act. And then there was the Great Secession. 2,000 put out of their living and so on. Now, there was a character in all of that. They called him a mystic, poet. His name was Angelus Silesius, but he wrote one of the most incredible, unforgettable things that I ever have come across in my study of time and history and the working of God. I put it in the notes. It'll be on. You know what you can pick up through the WhatsApp. But listen to this. Listen to this. Should Christ be born 1,000 times, despair, O man, unless he is born in you. Unless he's born in... And that's what Christmas is about. So don't stop with these government instructions. Don't stop with the amazing stories and moments. Great, wonderful, exciting as they are as you read them. And next week we will have the pictures thrown up and we'll have a time with the carols together. Don't stop there. You have to keep on looking. You have to keep on searching until you say that the Christ of Christmas is born in you. Three things. Here's the first. Realize the times were hard. Life was hard for nearly everyone. For most people, it was difficult just to survive. Food was scarce. Only the few really had any money. And usually there was either some corrupt king or power that threatened life itself for them. It's a bad, bad time in Judah, during the particularly the latter period of Herod the Great. He was a monster. He killed his own wife, slaughtered three of his own sons, you see. And you recall what he did. The Magi, the wise men, visited him, and they didn't go back, so he slaughtered every child under the age of 2 years, every male child under the age of 2 years. That's what it was like then. And those Christmas days, you had the Roman power, you had Caesar Augustus, the epitome of what Rome stood for, and the taxing census and so on. Shall I tell you about what it was like that first Christmas? There were days of poverty and deprivation. They pulled down statues here. The woke brigade are on against slavery. Josephus says this. There were nearly 60 million slaves. 60 million slaves throughout the Roman Empire. Don't talk to me about slavery. This is the time we're talking about. It's a hard time. Days of poverty, days of deprivation, days of danger, days of disease. Travel was difficult for Mary and Joseph. And then when they get to Bethlehem, there is no room for them. No one is willing to share a room. And the only refuge is that cave kind of stable place. And it was the poor against the rich. It was race against race. The Jews hated the Samaritans. All of them hated Rome and its authoritarian, oppressive regime. And what about now? What's changed? And you'd have to honestly answer very little. Because we are living with these racial and religious tensions. And the whole thrust of the Black Lives Matter being taken over by the Marxist groups. The protest groups. Walk out of the doors there and go to the bottom and look at the Extinction Rebellion sign on Rose Cottage. There's one of your protesters. And then this whole issue of the green environment, which has erupted into so difficult situations, even violent behavior, again and again. And I tell you what's happening in Southend. Homeless people are sleeping on the streets and in the doorways of the shops. And now you have the practical complications of COVID-19. People who've lost their jobs. People who are struggling to survive financially. Life is hard. And it's proving itself to be hard for so many. As they ponder what next, are they going to make it? And listen, when life was hard, then it was Christmas. Then it was Christmas. And suddenly you move from realizing the time's hard to recognizing a blessing is available. Angels came that first Christmas with special moments and messages for Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth and Zechariah, all of them at different times. And each encounter was so personal, so instructive, so reassuring, because angels are the heralds of heaven. And if that's what you need, God will do it again. Some of you have been with me a long time. You remember what happened up in the Langdon Hills with me, with the scenic. For some reason, Mark was up there in residential care. That's why I was there. And I was leaving to go on a ministry trip the next morning at 6. And something went wrong. And we couldn't stop the engine. The diesel engine was running out of control. It wouldn't turn off. We couldn't get a battery lead off. The vehicle was beginning to catch fire at the back. And I go in the cab again, and people are at the front. We've got the bonnet up. We're doing all sorts of things to try and stop this wretched engine, because apparently a diesel engine will run and run and run till it explodes. And while I'm sitting in the cab, a man came here, and he said, "Put your foot on the clutch. Push your gear into fifth gear and stall it." So I did. And the engine stopped. And I turned around to say thank you to this guy. And I said to the group, this whole group of them, just like you here now, I said, "Where's the man who stood by me?" They said, "There was no man." I said, "There was. He spoke to me. He told me what to do." I said, no. "There was no man. There was an angel there." I can tell you story after story. They're here. They exist. They're the heralds of heaven. But what interested me most in the story that's just been read by Andrew to you is that the angels and their contact with the shepherds, shepherds out in the fields, men who almost everyone looked down upon, they were the bottom of the social order of that day. And what was the most impressive thing is, listen to me, is that the angels sang to them, accompanied by heaven's choir. I can't recall another part of Scripture where they sang to anyone else in that personal kind of way. And they sang about the joy of knowing Jesus as your Savior, because that was the process by which God was making something known to you and to me. It's the wonder, it's the blessing of the gospel message, the Christmas story, that by the grace of God we can be changed and forgiven of our sins and be blessed of God. And when you look at what the angels do, when they sing, they hear they're singing about the Savior in that crib, in that stable. If you go to Luke 15, and here Jesus said, "Look, a sinner has repented," the angels start singing in heaven, rejoicing over a sinner that repents and turns to Christ. And if you go to the book of Revelation and go to chapter 5, you will read this. You see, "Then I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. And they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And with a loud voice they sang, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.'" The angels sang. But here, the shepherds, They've got to pick up the threads. They've got to pick up the routine of their lives, just like you and I have to do that. And they gave testimony to what had happened to them, and they were praising God and glorifying Him. Can I paraphrase that for you? That in effect they're saying, what a great God you are. You come to us. You come to me in such a marvelous way. You see, then it was Christmas. Then it was Christmas. And you can say just the same. It makes all the difference. It turns the hard time into a blessed time. Now, one of the features of our 21st century world has been the proliferation of the shopping malls. You know, we've got Blue Water, we've got Lakeside. If you catch the train up to Stratford, it's got Westfield. Every major city, it seems, has one of these out-of-town huge shopping centres. And they're not just here in the UK. They came from America, and we just followed that example. But let me tell you a true story, recorded in the press. A woman was doing her last-minute shopping at the mall there in Minnesota, and it was crowded. And she was tired of fighting the crowds. She was tired of standing in a line to be served. She was tired of fighting her way down the aisles looking for the presents and the gifts. And with her arms full of bulky packages, she pressed the button for the elevator, for the lift. And as the door opened, it was full, and everybody squeezes together to give her the space. And as the door closed, she angrily shouted this: whoever thought of this whole Christmas thing ought to be arrested, strung up, and shot. And a few heads nodded in agreement, silent agreement. And then somewhere from the back of this crowded lift came a single voice that said, don't worry, they've already crucified him. When there was no room for Joseph and Mary, there was no room anywhere. Because if there had have been, then they would have gone to another place. They would have gone there. But there was no room, no place at all, anywhere for the Son of God. And there's no place, it appears, in our shopping malls. There's no room, it seems, in our pandemic crisis. Despite all the so-called expertise that's ruling our lives, the only place for him was on a cross, standing stark against the skyline, pointing upwards to Calvary's Hill. And it is a message forgotten in many of the activities and the sentiments of Christmas. Hey, do you hear that? Do you hear it? A few moments ago, notes that were coming out of the back of this piano. Did it resonate here? Because Ruth was playing a song that said something so personal, so very special. It's about finding room. Come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there's room in my heart for you. We said that. We say it again this morning. We take a moment in this dreadfully difficult time of COVID-19 to say it again. Because there is a response we must make. We talked through these issues. Listen to three things. There was the telling. when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them concerning the child. It made them witnesses. No one told them what to do or gave them instructions or commissioned them. They just did it. The world was there. It desperately needed to know about Jesus. So the shepherds told everyone. They met. Isn't that the best way to celebrate Christmas? To make this wonderful story known? Surely we can do that. Surely we can do that. So there's a telling. And here's one. There's the thinking. And Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart, trying to figure it out, trying to understand it. Make no mistake, there are things sometimes so hard for us to understand. And we imitate Mary. And we'll be sitting there. It'll cause us to spend some time pondering. Pondering. We don't have all the answers. There are times and there are things that don't make sense. There are Bible truths that we cannot fully grasp at that moment of time. So we have to leave some things to God. But with this recognition, he says, I've got plans for you and purposes and intentions. You know, Jeremiah 29. Joyce would often quote one of her favorite hymns as, Farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. And that says it all. But that's not easy. That's not easy. It's this business of pondering. And I've been to hell and back for 6 weeks now. Pondering. 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 Some things don't make sense. They didn't then. But then it was Christmas. Then it was Christmas. So there's the telling. And there's the thinking. But there is the triumphing too. The shepherds returned. Andrew read it. Did you hear him? Say it. They returned. Doing what? Glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. And when you read a verse like that, they just were not talking to their family, their friends, the bystanders. Listen, what were they doing? They were talking to God. They were speaking to God himself. I don't know what they were saying to him, but they were praising God and glorifying him. Were they saying, what a great God you are? Were they saying, oh Lord, you amaze us? It's incredible the things that you do. Did they break into a song? Was it a psalm that they remembered and somehow it seemed to fit that moment? Who knows? But I'm pondering. And this is Christmas. And I don't end with my pondering. I end talking with him. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art. How great thou art. the triumphing. You know about my travelling in Central and Eastern Europe and the stories I could tell you. Let me tell you one about Czechoslovakia and 1920, because they had lockdown. They had a pandemic of sorts. A terrible plague. It was diphtheria. The older folk here will know what I'm talking about. It was diphtheria. And it swept right across the country at Christmas. It was a terrible, terrible plague. And the small place of Velký Šavliv was devastated. Almost all of the community caught the disease. What they would do is put a large cross, a black X, on every door as a warning that that home was in lockdown, was in quarantine. And Jano and Susanna Bovaktova lost all three children in 1 week. Jano made little pine boxes. And Susanna wrapped the bodies in a white sheet and put it in the box. And then on a cart, they trudged to the cemetery through a foot of snow. There was no priest to help them. So many were dying. So they just said the Lord's Prayer as they put the caskets of their three children into the ground. And then they trudged back home. Nobody to greet them. Just the big black X on every door meant it was locked down. It was quarantine. And Jano now was sick himself. He says to Susanna, I won't see another Christmas. He couldn't swallow. It was difficult to breathe. That's what diphtheria did to you. And Susanna kept repeating Psalm 121. I will look to the hills from whence does come my help. My help comes from the Lord. And trudging through the snow was an old peasant lady with a shawl around her shoulders. And she knocked on the door and Susanna said, we have the plague in our home. And the little old lady nodded and said, yes, but let me come in. Can I step inside? And she held in her hand a small jar and says to Susanna, take a clean linen sheet, wrap it round your fingers and smear your husband's throat and mouth. It was pure kerosene oil. And when you've done that, take a tablespoon and make him swallow a whole tablespoon of the kerosene. And then she left. It was Christmas Eve. And so Susanna did exactly that. And then it was Christmas. It was Christmas Day. And Jano coughed. The fever broke. The phlegm, the diphtheria phlegm and mucus came spilling out. Jano would recover. There were no presents under the tree. Just an old lady who came on Christmas Eve with a jar of oil and the gift of life. Jano did recover. I think it was 1923. They emigrated to the States. They would have triplets, two sets of twins, and another little girl. And it's their children. It's their children. And their children. And their children have kept this story going. Because that Christmas time, something unique and special happened. Guys. Jesus came that first Christmas time with the gift of life for the hopeless, for the grieving, for dying people. There was no pot of oil, just the cross planted on the hillside. You see pictures of the cross lifted up. Listen, that is not how it happened. Roman crosses were much lower than that, because they wanted you to see face to face how they were executing their prisoner. And face to face, it's Christmas. And he came to bring new life for you and for me. Do you hear me? He came for you and he came for me. And that is the Christmas story. And I've changed the words just for a moment. Would you listen while I sing with these three guys a song for you?
Be near us, Lord Jesus, we ask you to stay.
Where?
Close by us forever, and love us, we pray.
Bless
all these dear people in thy tender care, and fit us for heaven to live with thee there, and fit us for heaven to live with thee there.
And then it's Christmas. Father, thank you for our time together this morning. May the thrill, the wonder, the joy, the blessing of that first Christmas time and all the ramifications of the Christmas story touch our hearts afresh. We are amazed. We stand in awe. We join with angels and sing praise and glory and honor to Christ, our Lord, our King of Kings, and our Prince of Peace. Bless all these dear people sitting here this morning in your tender care, and fit, make us right, fit us all for heaven to live with you there. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.